Good morning, friends, and welcome to morning worship. We are still using the hymn book we call CH3 for our hymns, although I'm assured that now we have a new machine in place ready to return to the familiar format for next Sunday with leaflets giving the words of the hymns. That's for next Sunday, but for the moment, CH3, number 35, O Worship the King, 35. The eyes of the Lord are always upon us, from the beginning of the year to its end. Let us pray. Almighty God, with whom one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day, we are glad to know that you are the same God in whom our forefathers trusted, and your goodness never failed them. Help us to remain conscious of the way you have led us. And so may our hopes for the time to come rest entirely on your unchanging love. We bring our lives to you, Lord, and we confess the vows unfulfilled, the good purposes forgotten, the opportunities neglected, the duties left undone, unkind words spoken, ungenerous actions, unholy desires we have cherished. All our sins we confess before you, Lord. In your great mercy, forgive us and let us be clean again. Give us the power to live this life as we ought to live it, and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 194, Love Came Down at Christmas, 194. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm number 8 at verse 1. Psalm 8 at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel chapter 2 at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 200, As with Gladness Men of Old. 200. Psalm number 8 at verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What have we thought of Christmas this year? Was it a happy occasion? It is meant to be that, but sometimes things can spoil it for individuals or families. Was it all a bit overwhelming with everything which was involved? All the preparation, the present buying, wrapping, events to attend, matters to attend to. It can all get a bit much. It can sometimes bring out the worst in people. We know it's not meant to be like that, but we're only human after all. It can sometimes get so that we're glad when it's all over. We make resolutions about next Christmas, how much better we'll do it next year, things we'll avoid, things we'll do better than we did this year, lessons which are there to be learned. Not only will we learn the lessons, we'll put them into practice. When Christmas comes round next year, we'll be ready and we'll get it right. So we may say, we can't be too surprised if some people react in that kind of way. The good thing about having very young children around at Christmas is that we can see in them the awe and wonder which is so appropriate at this time. It is inevitable that we grow away from the childish acceptance of Christmas, but it's a pity if we lose the sense of awe and wonder. It maybe has to be transferred from the childlike outlook to something more mature, but it is essential that we retain that sense of awe and wonder. Christmas is an opportune time to revive it. We come to church services, we sing the familiar Christmas carols, we hear the familiar passages of the Bible being read. It's all there for us. The reminder in word and song, reminding us of what God has done. The God of all the ages and all the universes that exist or ever existed, that God has come to earth, come right into the human scene for the sake of sinners like you and me. That is indeed an occasion for awe and wonder. Christmas provides us with one occasion, but the awe and wonder should be there all the time. There's no time in the year when we can't be acutely aware of what God has done and continues to do through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even before Christian times, we have the psalmist expressing the awe and wonder. He looks at the world around him. He looks at his own life. He thinks of human life in general. And he sees how astonishing a thing it is that God has taken anything to do with human beings. God in the lives of ordinary men and women. How easily people brush aside the thought of it, and yet it is inescapable. We live our whole life in God's presence. That is at one and the same time a source of encouragement and comfort, and also a source of challenge and a call to response. The psalmist reflects on how kindly God has treated human beings, made them a little lower than the heavenly beings, he says. Mankind has control over a lot of what exists on this planet. And yet the psalmist knows that mankind is not worthy of this blessing. He talks about the foe and the avenger and calls for God's help in defending himself against this foe and avenger. He may be thinking of people who oppose him in various ways, people who make life hard for him. We've all experienced that from time to time. But he may rather be thinking of troubles of the mind, sins which are difficult to resist, habits and addictions which are deep-seated and hard to shift, attitudes of mind which become part and parcel of a person's daily life. Those are the foes and avengers which really cause the trouble. As I said, we are still using CH3 for our hymns today. Next Sunday we hope to get back to CH4 and the hymns, the words of the hymns printed on the hymn sheet. It's a pity in a way that we weren't able to do that for today, because I did have in mind to use the hymn which begins, O Lord my God, but which people commonly refer to as How Great Thou Art. And it's this psalm that we read today which has inspired that hymn. The hymn writer thinks of the greatness of God, first in looking at God's creation, the stars in particular, What a vastness of creation there is out there. And indeed, when we look at the sky on a starry night, we too can be impressed and even awestruck by God's creation and the vastness of it. And then he thinks of God's creation more close at hand, through the woods and the forest glades, the songs of the birds, the gentle breeze, how beautifully it all blends together, he thinks. What must be the mind which is behind all this? Because there must be a mind, and it must be a mind far greater than any human mind. Contemplating all this brings the psalmist and the hymn writer, brings them to wonder at the immensity of the God whom we worship. But then the hymn writer goes on to an area of thought which was not available to the psalmist of Old Testament times. After thinking of all that God has done in the matter of his creation, the hymn writer goes on to think of what God has done in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. And that, for the Christian, that has to be the crux of the matter. We come to Christmas time each year, and we go through the conventional round of observances, the church services, the Christmas carols, the nativity as described in the Bible. We do all this and we express our opinion as to how this particular Christmas has been for us. Was it happy? Was it stressful? Was it meaningful? Did it leave us with the warm glow which ought to be associated with Christmas? After all the uplifting thoughts of how great must be the God who's behind all this creation, after all that, we try to take in the truth that this God came to human life, entered into it all, took upon himself the restriction of human life, underwent the most cruel experiences for the sake of men and women and children, all kinds of human beings, even human beings like you and me. For us, God sent his Son. For us, Jesus went through it all. When it comes to Christmas time, we think of the child in the manger. We think of the birth, the circumstances surrounding the birth, the attention paid in their respective ways by the shepherds and the wise men, the few who were aware of the birth of the Christ child. They were not aware of how it was all going to develop and pan out. That came in the course of time, with the earthly life of Jesus, his ministry in Galilee, his chosen disciples, the opposition of scribes and Pharisees and others, the betrayal and denial and mockery of a trial and the crucifixion. If we are really Christian, can we look at all that? We can look at all that and we can be filled with awe and wonder, as the psalmist was filled with that in contemplating the heavens, and as the hymn writer was filled with it in thinking of God's activity in nature and his intervention in human affairs. The celebrations of Christmas, the gifts and the family gatherings, the merrymaking and the feasting, we enjoy all that, and rightly so, but now we leave them behind and we contemplate the meaning of it all, the real meaning, that is. God so loved the world, this world. How can anyone love this world with all its evil and sin and greed and selfishness? What kind of a God must it take to love this world? But it is true, the psalmist was aware of it. How majestic is your name in all the earth, he exclaimed. Your name, the name of God. We need to think for a moment about that. It means more than we commonly mean by the word name. It means more than the word God or Lord. It means more than whatever word we use to identify God. The name of God, in the way in which it's used by the biblical writers, means the whole character of God, the reputation of God, the person of God. All that is contained in the expression, the name of God. And although the world at large still doesn't recognize it, the name of God is all-powerful and all-pervading. You and I know it. were maybe not always keenly aware of how great God is and what that means in our day-to-day life, we've maybe still got a long way to go in making the right response to God's love. But we've just been celebrating Christmas, and we do know the deep meaning. We are able to say with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And may the Lord make us able, with every year that passes, able to come nearer to making the response which he requires of us, which is the surrender of our whole life. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. CH3, number 615, Heavenly Father, Thou Hast Brought Us, 615. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we bring our material offerings to be dedicated to your cause. Receive and bless them, we pray, and enable us likewise to yield ourselves, our time, our talents, and all that we have and all that we are for your service and glory. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings we have received in this year now drawing to its close, blessings which have come in various forms, food and clothing and shelter and all the basic necessities, love and friendship and encouragement, and your love manifested in the way things have turned out. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, sent as at this time to be our Saviour. Help us to yield our lives to him and to follow where he leads. We pray for the church, Lord, your church, that it may be built up in strength and that it may faithfully play its part in spreading far and wide the good tidings of great joy intended for all people. We pray for our country and the nations of the world, that in the coming year they may be drawn into closer bonds of mutual honour and service. Bless this congregation and parish, the homes and families based here, and likewise the congregation and parish linked with us in your service. Help us to continue to work together for the spiritual uplift and benefit of the community. We commend to your care those who are ill and those who find life a trial for one reason or another. If there are any here for whom the passing year has brought events which were unexpected and circumstances which we would rather not have had to meet, we pray for your help, Lord. Remind us of the constant presence of our Saviour, through whom we can defy all dangers and be more than conquerors. We thank you, Lord, for the constant reassurance that the passing of the years brings no change to you, our God, the same God yesterday and today and forever. Keep us united in spirit with all your faithful servants, those of our own present time, those of ages past, and those of ages yet to come, and bring us beyond the changes and chances of this fleeting world into your kingdom of glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, we don't have the leaflet yet. We're looking forward to having the leaflet again next Sunday, but I am able to tell you, first of all, about something that people have been doubtful about. People have been doubtful about whether there'll be tea and coffee after this service, and I can reassure you, yes, indeed, there will. Please come and have tea and coffee as usual. That's one thing, and the other thing, of course, is that this is not just the end of a year, but it's the end of our our 11:30 services for the time being. Next Sunday, the 3rd of January, we begin with the services at 10 o'clock, and I bring to you the good wishes of our friends in our dear church who have endured the 10 o'clock service for a whole year now, and they wish us well now that our turn is coming here. So that's for next Sunday, 10 o'clock service. In the meantime, we close this service with yet another hymn from CH3, number 201, Brightest and Best, 201.
Thank you.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.